session number 2109821.
Harold Wilmshurst, Trail 1. Where were you born, please?
Jarvis Ruggins, on the 3rd of August 1919.
We should say that Jarvis Brook is in East Sussex.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Did both your mother and father come from Jarvis Brook?
My father was born in Rotherfield, actually.
What did he do for a living?
He was a carter on an estate in over after he left school. His father had a small holding in Rotherfield, and there was a large family of them, and they spread out a bit, you know, because of the work, you see. And he went to Rotherfield Hall as a carter for Sir Lindsay Hogg, and he worked there for some time, but the wages were very low. And he eventually went into the brickworks in Jarvis Brook. They're called Grover Bricks, actually, but the brickyard now is defunct.
Did you grow up and have your schooling in Jarvis Brook?
I had some of my schooling in Jarvis Brook, at the infant school. And after a time, we went to Rotherfield School. We walked to Rotherfield School and back.
How old were you when you finished your schooling?
14.
In 1933?
1933.
Did you get a job?
Yes. I already had a small job on the vicar's, the curate's poultry farm, just between Rotherfield and Jarvis Brook. I used to clean his chicken out on Saturday mornings. And then when I finally left, I had a job on the Anglo-American Oil Company lorry, carrying paraffin to shops. They had a depot at the brickworks, and we used to pump the paraffin from the tanks on the railway line down into a huge tank, pump it from the huge tank into the tank on the lorry, you see. And we took it all round Heathfield, Wardron, Little London, and we went all around the shops in the vicinity and delivered this paraffin and cans of petrol, Pratt's Ethyl, 2 gallon cans. And we also delivered S-Lube oil to various garages and that sort of thing.
Did you join Territorial Army before the war?
Yes, I joined the Territorial Army on the 5th of May 1939, after conscription was announced.
Why did you do that?
Because everyone else was doing it in the village. All my friends were going, you see. And I went with one particular friend and joined up at Crowborough Drill Hall.
Which unit of the TA was that?
That was the 5th. Cinque-Ports Battalion of the Royal Sussex Regiment, C Company.
What kind of experience did you have with them before war was declared?
I went to camp with them at Wannock, near Eastbourne, for a fortnight. We went firing at Lewis, on the range at Lewis. And then we got called up on the 1st of September 1939, got embodied into the regular army. We went to Crowborough Drill Hall, and we were there for a few days, and then we went to their headquarters at St. Leonard's-on-Sea, called the Bulverhithe. And we were there guarding the vital places, you know. And we were there about 3 months, and we went to Dorset, a little village called Evershot, I was stationed in. And we did our war training.
How did you feel when you heard the news that war had been declared?
Well, we were all elated, really. We were all at a drill hall, and we were all prepared to go. And The air raid siren went on the Sunday when war was actually declared, and we all piled into this big deep trench at Crowbridge Rill. And of course, it was a false alarm. So nothing happened, you see.
Why did you feel so elated about it?
Well, we were all there together, and we sang songs that some of the chaps had written. And
do you remember any of them?
Let me think. When the Runtintun Militia went to war, that was one, and that came from Heathfield, one of the chaps at Heathfield. When the Runtintun Militia went to war, I can't remember anymore.
What tune did they sing it to?
That's difficult. When the Runtintun Militia went to war, such goings on you'd never heard before. La 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 la. When the Runtintun Militia went to war, and so on. That's as much as I can sing at the moment, I'm afraid.
Was it a bawdy song or was it clean?
Oh, it was bawdy. Oh, it's bawdy, yeah. Yes, certainly. Anyway, we were all pals together, we were all young, and, you know, they made two battalions from the recruits, instead of one battalion, they made two, especially for the war, you see. And so we all went off for transport to St. Leonard's.
Which were the two battalions?
Afterwards, they split them into two. Some went to Brighton, called the 17th Holding Battalion, and then there was Air Battalion, the 5th Cinque-Ports Battalion. So that's how they split them up. Some of the young chaps who weren't old enough to go to war went to Brighton. And some of the older men who were too old went to Brighton and made up this 70th Holding Battalion. And then the young chaps gradually became old enough to join other units, you see, from Royal Sussex.
What do you remember happening next?
Well, we went to Dorset and did our war training in deep trenches, standing two in the morning, out for 10 days at a time in the snow and ice, and laying on their backs in the freezing conditions at Backcombe Downs in Dorset. And then we did our training. We had 48 hours leave about April 1940. We went to Southampton and boarded a boat and went to Cherbourg. And we stayed at Cherbourg for a time. And then they took us to a railway siding. And we got on this train. And everything was wooden. The wood seats were wooden with straight backs. We had all their equipment on. And we sat in this train and off it went. And we went to a training area called St. Paul, I think. And we did our training. We were in billets, in barns, in a farm. And we gradually marched up the Le Mans racetrack with the tar boiling out of the road, tar bubbling out of the road. It was so hot. And their boots were white instead of black. Their feet had sweated and the salt had come right up through our boots. And we were practically shattered by the time we finished. We marched over 100 miles. And then we got to a place called Bethune, and We did some guards there, vital places. And then from Bethune we went up to Bichty in Belgium by motor transport. We went into action at a place called Work Again. And we had to withdraw because the enemy were on three sides of us.
Can you describe the fighting you were in there?
We didn't actually do any fighting. We were in reserve, I think. The forward troops were doing the fighting at that time. And we never saw the enemy as such, but we were getting shelled. And the shells were going over the top of us and hitting other targets, cows in the fields and things like that. And
had you seen anything of the Belgian civilian population?
We saw the Belgian population as we entered Belgium, and they gave us flowers and chocolates. They were very good to us, actually. But so we didn't realise we should be going back the other way very shortly. Now, as we withdrew from the Escaut River, we went back through our own carrier platoon, and they too were firing on us, because they thought it was Germans coming out, you see. And two of us managed to get forward and warn them it was C Company and the 5th Battalion Royal Sussex that were coming out. And they stopped firing, so we got away. And we got away through to a place called Courtrai. And there we regrouped again, all the stragglers. It was every man for himself, almost. And we got back together again. And then we went into action again. We were at a place called Lillers. And on the outskirts of Lille, there was a big hospital which had been used for, a casualty station. And all these bloodstained bandages all over the floor. And we came out of that and we went to a place called Rouge Cross or Strazil. We were in action there with the Germans.
What was your fighting with the Germans like in this area?
Strazil, it was not hand to hand. But they got very close to us and they encircled the farm building that we were in. But air carrier platoon under a local officer charged the enemy and drove them back. So we made it safe after dark that night and got back with our own unit. And
how many of you were in this farm building?
I think about 20. There were some Middlesex machine gunners who hadn't got their machine guns. They were just riflemen like us. And I think about 15 of our own men with this Middlesex officer. And they got a message through to us that a chap was coming from Air Battalion with a small torch to show us the way out. And we got out under cover of darkness. And they told us to, every man for himself, make your way to Dunkirk. Well, we followed their own chaps. And we finished up at Mont des Cats, where there was a huge battle. The enemy was on one hill and their chaps were on the other hill. And they were shelling and bombing, and we had an attack by 20 Stukas. We never got on the hill, we were down in the valley in a tank trap. And these Stukas came over and bombed and machine gunned us. But we were lucky. And we managed to get away from there in groups and make our way to Popperinge, Dunkirk. We finished up at Bray Dunes. And my friend, who died last year, said, let's get in by these chaps who were marching along the sea shore. He said, let's get in behind them, Harold. So we got in behind them, and they were marching to the mole at Dunkirk. And volunteers were asked for to get these 60 wounded men off these ambulances onto this little boat. The mole had been bombed. There were huge gaps in the mole, and they'd laid builder's planks over these gaps. We had to carry the stretchers over these gaps and get them onto the little boat. It was very low in the water because the tide was out, and we managed to get these chaps on, and they took us two on board. We got to Dover early next morning.
Whilst you were in France and Belgium, had you done any firing with your rifle yourself?
Yes, we fired at Strazil.
At where? Germans.
Rouge Cross or Strazil. A place called Rouge Cross or Strazil. We had actually fired air weapons at them there, and we killed a lot of them. You're firing from inside the farmhouse through a small window with a brain gun, and we were feeding the ammunition into the magazines for the brain gunner, you see. And
were any of the men in the farmhouse hit?
Not to my knowledge, no. The farmer and his helpers were down in the cellar. We were in the living room as such. We got the windows all barricaded up, and we were peeping out through cracks. And we saw the Germans coming at us, and we were firing at them. And one particular chap poked his head over the hedge as I was looking out, and I hit him, I shot him, and he went backwards. The next moment, there was a burst of fire from a machine gun, and it went over my knees and broke all the crockery ware in the living room along one side of the house. But I sat back in the sink, and it missed me. And as I say, we got out in under cover of darkness.
So you shot this chap with the rifle?
I shot him, yeah.
How far away would that be?
20 yards, I think.
As near as that.
He popped his head over the top, German, with his helmet on. Three German tanks came down the road and stopped right opposite us. But they didn't open fire, they went off again.
And was the Bren gunner one of the Middlesex Regiment men?
No, it was one of our own men, a chap named Pink. He got killed later at that hill I was telling you about.
Mont des Chats?
Mont des Cats. He got killed there, apparently. One of my friends who I wrote to after the war told me. He got hit by a mortar bomb.
Did you see Mr. Pink killed?
No. But this chap did, who I used to write to at Southampton. And he died afterwards.
So amongst the men in this farmhouse, were there, how many Sussex men were there?
About 15, I should think. I was second IC to my section, and a little man named little man from Arundel called Tug Wilson received the MM. He carried a wounded man into the house from the outbuildings. He got shot through the privates. And they carried him in, and he got the MM for it.
And so if there
were
15...
It was recommended by this Middlesex officer for an MM.
If there were 15 Sussex men, how many Middlesex men were there?
About half a dozen, I think. As much as I can remember.
How frightening was that action at the farmhouse?
Pretty frightening. A German officer came outside and asked this other chap to surrender. And the Middlesex officer ordered us to shoot him because he was shielding him. We had to one of the men shot him. Shot their own man because he was shielding the officer, asking us to give up. But we stayed put. And then the carrier platoon charged the enemy and pushed them back down the hill, you see. So we got out under cover of darkness.
Did you see the carrier platoon charge?
No. They were in front of us. But we knew something had happened because there was a lull in the shooting, you see.
Which platoon were you in?
I was in 14 platoon.
Were you a private?
I was a private, yeah.
What was the voyage back across the channel like?
Uneventful. It was at night. After the tide turned, we went across the channel and it was uneventful. Got into Dover in the morning and, as I say, the air raid siren went, but we were taken by train up through to Tunbridge, very near home. And we had to sign a card to say we were home. I've still got that card. My sister was here with my father and brother. So they got the card from Tunbridge.
Did you bring your rifle back from Dunkirk?
I brought a rifle back. On the way to Dunkirk, my friend, whose feet were bleeding, tore the rifle off my shoulder and threw it into the flooded countryside. And there was a causeway from the canal through to Bray Dunes, you see. And all this transport was piled up on this causeway. And this Ben Holm was tore my rifle off my shoulder because I was sort of coaxing him on, you see. And he threw it into this flooded landscape. And
why did he do that?
Well, I suppose he thought, you know, it was no good having it. So when we were actually on the beach, they asked people to pick up rifles and take them back, you see. But that rifle had a little brass disc on the butt. Number 432. I always remember that.
The one you brought back?
Rifle I was issued with. No, not the one I brought back. The one he threw into the flooded land. So they flooded the land purposely to defend Dunkirk, you see. Then we went along this causeway, and I say all this transport was bombs and machine gun, horses, you name it, everything. French guns, French troops, dreadful carnage. They're all piled up. Some were pushed into the flooded areas from the causeway, and we got into Bray Dunes in the end, where there were some sort of caves dug into the sand, you know. And we stayed there for a time, and then we were told there was some raw Sussex by a big hospital. So we joined them, and they said, stay with us, and you'll get a small boat to row you out to the larger boats. And we stayed with them, but there was no sign of any transport, so me and Ben joined this other unit that were marching along the seashore, Green Howard. And we marched behind them, and as I say, we got to the mole, There was a huge pile of bodies there, perhaps been bombed or whatever. And then they asked for volunteers to get these wounded men off these ambulances onto this boat, you see, a little small, dirty little boat. And we helped get them on, so we got on. And they were giving us tins of milk. The crew of this little boat were giving us tins of milk. And I drank a tin of milk and I made myself feel ill. And so we got home, Dunkirk.
Do you know the name of the boat?
I never knew the name of it. I've got a list of all the boats that came from Dunkirk. I never really found out the name of our little boat.
What were conditions like aboard the boat?
Well, it looked as though they'd been carrying coal or something. It was a small boat. And of course, it could get into the harbour all right, you see, because it was shallow at the time. So we got back to Dunkirk and we were transported from Dover up through Tunbridge, Redhill, and we finished at Herefordshire, Leominster, Herefordshire. And me and Ben stayed there for a few days. We went to a Thanksgiving service there at Hereford Cathedral on the Sunday. We were there a few days and then we went to Oxford where a battalion was regrouping. From Oxford we went to Gloucester. We went into a new camp in Gloucester called the name of the road was can't remember the name of the road. We went into a new camp and we stayed there for a while. The Duke of Gloucester inspected us, but I was made an RP, the regimental police, at a particular time, and I was looking after defaulters with the unit, and so I didn't get to on parade for the Duke of Gloucester.
How did you like doing the job as regimental policeman?
I didn't mind actually. We led a few chaps off that came in late at night. We'd been through a hard time, you know, and we were easy going really with them, and we stayed there for I think about a couple of months. And then we were taken right up through to Castleford in Yorkshire by train. And from Castleford we went to a place called Moorends near Thorne, Doncaster. And from Doncaster we were at Thorne. We went down into the colliery, Thorne Colliery, into the pit itself, went to the bottom of the pit with some of the chaps, which made us feel very tired, and that was on a Sunday morning.
You mean just for a visit?
Yeah, just for a visit, yeah. The families up there were very friendly. We used to go to have the food with them, and they were very kind to us, and time came for us to move off. We were in reserve and the guards were on the coast, and there was a rumour that the Germans were trying to land on the Yorkshire coast. So we had to put all their stuff on the lorries, and we had coaches, the chaps had coaches to ride on, to go to their aid if anything happened. And their transport was baker's lorries, butcher's lorries, butcher's vans, you name it, we had it. Their equipment wasn't very good. We'd come back from Dunkirk and their equipment was depleted. But we were still training. We went on a 30-mile route march. Their second-in-command took us on a 30-mile route march. And